Have you ever watched a chick hatch or a video of one? There comes this time inside the egg for the chick to start to use its lungs to breathe. It's grown and filled the inside of the egg. It's starting to move more. The amount of oxygen that comes in through the shell isn't enough anymore to keep it going. So it tucks its head under its wing with its beak pointing towards this membrane that separates it from this little air pocket. You know how when you peel a hard-boiled egg and there's a little air pocket, it's usually on one end? In an egg with a chick in it, that air pocket is there for the chick's first breath. So the chick pierces that membrane and it uses its lungs for the very first time to take in that air while it's still in the egg. And that supplements the oxygen coming through the shell. After about 12 hours of this, the chick starts to tap on the shell with this little egg tooth. It's a strong and sharp little structure on its beak. And with that egg tooth, it taps over and over and over again at the same spot and eventually makes a little tiny crack or a little hole. And then it takes a rest because it's been working really hard. And then after that rest, it takes another 12 hours or so to turn around inside the egg, to use its wing for direction and its legs for power to cut a hole around the edges. Well, not the edges, right? But around the egg to make an edge big enough for it to fit through. And the egg's shell, which has protected that chick as long as it grew from an embryo for 18 days, it's left behind as the chick recuperates enough from its hatching and gets up and stretches and starts its new life. The egg has to break for that to happen. And its role in the life of the chick was beautiful and was holy. Where I've been staying the last few weeks, there is a creek coming down from several sources up in the holler. I've been walking up that creek into the places that each branch of the creek comes down, these beautiful places where you can stand in the creek and there are two branches coming down to meet you. So I've been going up all of these branches, listening to the water, feeling it run over my feet. There are a lot of rocks in the creek. Sandstone and limestone and granite, so many of them worn down with these amazing patterns from the water flowing over them as they've become part of the stream bed. And geodes. Geodes. I've been picking them up, trying to crack them on other rocks to see what's inside. Some of them are solid inside with cool patterns in the broken faces. Others are actually hollow, like this one. Sometimes, like the ones you see in rock shops, except they're not polished, of course, full of different edges and colors, textures, beautiful in ways I can't see until I break them open. And I think of this morning's wisdom reading. Holy are the places of becoming, the places of clear vision where life and the world are intertwined and we can see forever. In this moment, this moment that encompasses thousands of years, millions of years of time to have created this thing that I get to see, but only when I break it. It's hard to make the analogies for humans out of these things because they often involve experiences of pain or fear. I have talked about the pain and fear of the process of my divorce over 4 years ago now, and how that has changed me, but how I couldn't see how it has changed me until after some of the pain and fear has gone through. We're all broken in many kinds of ways. Paula Gribble, the director of Lifespan Faith Engagement for the UU Church of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, recently wrote, "I am broken. We are all broken. Now stay with me, she writes. In meteorology, the term broken refers to the sky being more than half but not totally covered by clouds. When I was a child, life was especially challenging. I suffered abuse. I was poor and sometimes hungry. I am broken. I'm not the only one, she writes. All of us sit with our own struggles, hard times, pains, and losses. You are broken. It may be a natural response to hide this brokenness. You, like me, may have avoided certain topics with people so you didn't have to talk about a painful time. You may have tried to hide the things you don't like about yourself. But let's return to that meteorological definition, being more than half, but not totally covered by clouds. Have you ever been outside on a cloudy day, she asks, and then the light shines through the clouds, and it's especially beautiful because it's coming through the clouds around it. Sunny days are great, but there's something special about the light coming through the clouds on a broken day, something graceful. I offer to you, she continues, that you do not have to feel like a cracked and flawed plate you drop in the kitchen, the one that will never work quite right. Instead, the things that have broken you also make you beautiful, special, graceful. I'm not saying that the painful and challenging things are okay. They're not. But I would not be the person I am today, she says, if I had not gone through those things. My broken is what makes me who I am today. And you would not be the person you are without your brokenness. Your beautiful, graceful light couldn't shine through without the clouds surrounding you. Beautiful creations born out of brokenness. She finishes, we have to take these parts of ourselves and allow them to be broken. And from those broken pieces, create something new, something beautiful and special, something born out of our brokenness, something broken that is also perfect. In the story I told earlier, Humpty Dumpty broke not once, but twice. First, when he had his great fall, and he was put back together again, broken and perfect. And then he lived his life in fear. He overcame that fear eventually so he could do the thing he loved, and then he was broken again. This time, completely broken, dramatically broken, with pieces of his shell flying off in every direction. Some might call that irony, that he worked through his fear only to be broken again, but some might call it beautiful. He was an egg. It's pretty much understood that an egg will break eventually, and he got to break doing something that brought him great joy. The writer Glennon Doyle says it well. Life is brutal, but it's also beautiful. Brutiful, I call it. Life's brutal and beautiful are woven together so tightly they can't be separated. Reject the brutal, reject the beauty. So now I embrace both, and I live well and hard and real. My job is to wake up every day, say yes to life's invitation, and let millions of women watch me get up off the floor, walk, stumble, and get up again. A couple of years ago, I was at an ordination service for my friend, who is now the Reverend Jenny Peek. I was hanging out in the robing room with the other ministers before the service, and we had just finished praying for Jenny, for this day, for her ministry. We were getting lined up to process down the aisle. One of my colleagues pointed out to me that my stole was crooked. One side was hanging lower than the other. And I immediately thought about my internship supervisor and how she had once reacted when I mentioned on a Sunday morning that her stole was crooked. She had looked down at it and smiled and said, you know, there's a time that really would have bugged me, but I'm learning to accept imperfection because that's all there really is. and a crooked stole just reminds me of that. And I looked down at my crooked stole before this ordination, and I smiled and looked at my colleague, and I said, I know. And there was a time that really would have bugged me, but I don't want to have to keep perpetuating the myth of perfection. My colleague, well, she didn't seem to understand. I think she wanted everything to look just right. And I didn't have time to say anymore. But what I wanted to say was, if we can't accept our own imperfections, how are we to accept those of our fellow humans? How can we minister in a broken world if we insist on thinking we are not broken, or trying to look like we are not broken? On this Easter morning, our Christian neighbors celebrate the creation of something new and whole and holy out of the broken body of the man named Jesus and the broken system of fear and greed that killed him. The story goes that Jesus travels to Jerusalem to observe Passover on what they now call Palm Sunday. And during that week, knowing that he'll be called to be crucified, he holds a Last Supper with his closest followers. And the next day, he is hung on a cross to suffer and die. A soldier pierces his side with a sword to make sure that he's dead. And then his body is taken to a tomb, a cave, and a stone is rolled across its opening. And on Sunday morning, several women go to the cave to anoint his body with herbs, and they find the stone rolled back and the body missing. And Jesus appears and talks with several of his followers. Some of them don't even recognize him. That is how different he is. And then he's lifted bodily into heaven. I don't believe in the theology that's been created around this event. The idea that redemption could come out of the violent beating and death of a man who was feared by the establishment for his radical ideas of how we humans should act toward one another. I don't believe that systems that regularly break bodies or spirits are worthy of anything other than change. But I do believe in the human capacity to make that change, to create systems that rely on the new bits that can come out of the broken ones. And I do believe that that was what the man Jesus was here to teach us in part. Those bits, even when each of them looks jagged and rough, they can be put together in a whole new pattern, the way a mosaic is made up of the bits that have broken off of other things. But even though I don't believe that theology, I do appreciate this other lesson in the story of Jesus' resurrection, that after we're broken and bleeding, we can become something new, something wondrous, something beautiful, because the pieces of memory, of the dream, of change and pain and connection, the places of becoming, are holy as what is inside of a beautiful stone. That is redemption in my mind, the ability to take something broken, even when it's a piece of my own heart, and knowing that it's beloved, held by the love that holds us all, as I often say, offer it up with the other broken pieces of other people's hearts to make something new and beautiful. I believe this is some of what we are here for as humans, especially in this time of pandemic and resurrection, of broken and beautiful. May it be so, and may we be so.